Nick Tamaro. We couldn't get to Nick on Friday. Friday got out of control, and it's a holiday Monday, so that's one of the great traditions on At the Races.
Morning, Steve. How you doing?
I'm good. How you?
I'm great.
I love it. All right. How's baby?
She's doing great, thank you. Yeah, enjoying it. Eating a lot. Certainly heard plenty of races going on behind her over the weekend, so she's getting quickly indoctrinated.
What's the over-under the date over-under on her first meatball?
As soon as she's got something to eat the meatball with, she's eating, no doubt about it. I made a pot of sauce yesterday. If there was a way to slip some sauce into a bottle, I would have. But I don't know if her mother would have been too happy about that. But I was expecting to go date on first racetrack trip, which I can tell you is going to be January 26th for Houston Ladies Classic.
Absolutely.
She's not going to miss that. So, yeah, that's the new lady in town. Got to show up for the big race. So, yeah, it'll all happen quickly for her.
Well, and in fact, I did see a notice. I haven't mentioned it, but somewhere on my desk here, I know they've got a nice season planned at Sam Houston, a purse increase, and there should be another good season at SHRP. Nick, before we talk about anything today, and it's another nice card at Aqueduct, this is the seventh race day, and the cards have been spectacular, but let me get a quick BC review and overall BC review from you.
Yeah, so I mean, anybody, and I hope you weren't, but anybody who was out there looking for me on the standings, obviously Pat Cummings played my entry. There was no collusion going on in that. I won the two entries, transferred them to him, so we made a nice little score on Friday. We, between the doubles of into Structor and Structor to British Idiom, and that got us into a decent position. We actually had a live double to Anno D'Or in Juvenile, and came off the course there. So yeah, it would have been in an even better spot going into Saturday, where my opinions were just average. They really weren't anything special. Pat actually liked Iridesa. He felt like, and of course he's got, if he's, hopefully we'll listen to this via podcast, he usually has one good opinion per European horse every 3 years or so. So this is the one he's now taking care of through 2021. So we won't ask for much more from him. But no, he was keen on Iridesa, felt like the Affirm Turf and Inside Post would do her some good, and that she could be forwardly placed as well. And we had kind of a bad read on the distaff. And I think from a betting perspective, I'm sure everybody's been on and talked to you about fan perspective and, you know, and things like that. From a betting perspective, I think that me and everybody else who bet on Dunbar Road in the distaff afterwards kind of had to have a little bit of a come to Jesus with ourselves and say, well, really, I mean, did we get a little too wrapped up in the track bias portion of the conversation? Because what would have made you that much more interested in betting Dunbar Road than Blue Prize? Mm-hmm. And so I regret that to an extent. I guess I felt like Blue Prize maybe moved up a little bit at Keeneland, but I think that also takes away from how well she ran on numerous occasions at other racetracks too. So she had run well at Saratoga, she had run well at Churchill. So, that looking back on it, that's probably one that I regret to an extent. I also had a negative opinion on Uni, who I felt like would really be up against it pace wise, and ended up running very, very well. So, that was a mistake that obviously was relatively easy to make. Because the pace ended up being huge, which was totally unexpected. But that's one of those things that happens. You know, that's why these races are difficult and challenging, and why they can often take you on paths that you don't really expect. So I thought it was, now from the fan perspective, I thought it was a good Breeders' Cup. I feel like we saw a lot of very impressive performances from various winners. And certainly got what we expected from horses like Matoli and I think Vino Rosso, who we expected a good effort from. After some of the no-shows on Friday, I think we got a little bit more of what we were expecting going into Saturday. I thought Covfefe was among the most impressive winners, and you'd have to think that races like the Madison and Humana Distaff and Ballerina are really hurt for the taking next year. And one thing also is a good number of horses are coming back. And so it was encouraging to see that we'll see some divisions look like they'll be pretty hardy, even in the face of some horses like Matoli and some of those that are not going to return for 2020.
Well, I put a request in to Tim Schramm at Breeders' Cup. Tim manages the BCBC, and I'll get everybody the answer that you're looking for on when they're going to release the wagers. And then we we'll have some fun conversations. In fact, we did that last year where we analyzed, we went through and cherry picked, you know, some of the interesting decision making. And I think there's a lot for the everyday player to learn by, you know, sifting through those results. Nick, let's pick out a couple of spots mentioning, you know, these cards, and it is another good day of racing at the Big A today.
It really is. And boy, this has been, I know it kind of went on behind the scenes last week with the Breeders' Cup and everything else, but these first seven cards, as you said, have really been incredible. And there was some excellent racing over the weekend with the Turf Stakes and some of the ones that have been brought back. And I suppose Keith Dolschel, if I'm pronouncing it right,
uh-huh,
is doing a hell of a job. So, you know, there seem to be a lot of horses that we didn't know existed when Belmont was going on that certainly exist now. And obviously being able to continue to run on the turf is helping his cause quite a bit, as there's been some pretty competitive racing on both surfaces. That being said, there's been some good dirt racing as well. And I think this mile and an eighth, the 2-year-old race today, is at least an interesting one from a number of perspectives. One of which is that Vintage Print is making his second start, and this is a horse that you kind of felt like going into his debut. He ran on what is now, I guess, Champagne Day, early in October, and is another OXO Equine Gigantic purchase, was purchased for $1.8 million, and is the son of Molly Morgan, which, you know, that it's we're getting old when Travis Stone has called Molly Morgan's Grade 1 win, and now she already has foals going, having won the Fleur-de-Lis a couple, not the Fleur-de-Lis, the race on Derby weekend a few years ago. So now stretching out to a mile and an eighth, I think, is the big angle. This is the son of Curlin, who looked like he was really just kind of getting his legs under him at a mile, and now gets that additional furlong. The mile and an eighth at Aqueduct, we don't always see all that often this early. Tapage is another horse with an incredible pedigree, being by Tappet out of Hysterical Lady. Of course, Hysterical Lady has not quite been that productive as a broodmare, but Tapage is another horse that looks like he'll really benefit from going quite a bit longer. So I think I'm not necessarily looking forward to betting that race, but I think seeing how it shakes out with some of these horses stretching out is a big angle. And then in the ninth is the I suppose nominal feature on the card, a two other than for New York Breds. And Out of Trouble was wide last time, and the Widener turf, as the meet went on, it did become more forgiving for horses outwardly placed and outwardly drawn. But I thought that mare ran well. Now gets back into New York Bred competition. She was in for the tag two back when she won, so she should be pretty tough. And one of the things that I think has been really interesting about this meet so far is that the multi-race place have just been gigantic. I mean, it's been, yep, incredibly lucrative. So in a situation like this where you might be able to get to go a little narrower with a horse like Out of Trouble, it could certainly help the weary multi-race horse player.
You know, you just a reference back to, you mentioned Keith Dolschel, and want to get Keith on here, you know, probably as we get closer to the Holiday Fest. And you know, Keith came out of the University of Arizona, the racetrack industry program, and it, like Steve May, is somebody that found out about the RTIP listening to the show. Just really excited for him. And to give you an idea of what is going on in that racing office right now, the sixth race today is a 30,000 non-winners of two lifetime going a mile and a 16th on the turf. It's got a full field of 12. Then it's got three MTOs and an AE. What it doesn't show, you'd have to go to the overnight, is that there were a bunch of horses excluded, including our Minute Mouse, who, you know, broke her maiden going the mile on the 16th like 3 weeks ago.
Right, right.
She couldn't even get into this race based on the star, you know, based on entry. There were other horses that are waiting longer to run, so, you know, she has to wait. But there were over 20 horses entered in this spot. And it just goes to show. I mean, you know, everybody is so presumptuous that, oh, you know, the horse populate, the horses are out there, and understanding, you know, the what's on the backstretch, and also obviously what's down at Fairhill and you know, anywhere else, you know, within a driving distance that you can attract horses, because the purses are good. And like you mentioned, we're also benefiting right now from the situation at Laurel that costs them a chance to keep running on their turf course.
Yeah, so you got, that's absolutely a big part of it. Sure.
Yep. And that's contributing. So take advantage. And right now, I'll tell you, the weather's clear. It's going to be cold for a few days here, but there's no wet weather. And as long as the moisture stays out, that turf course, they got two of them to work with. So we could keep running. And I kind of hope so, because we want to get the mouse back out. You know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the plan is to go as long as they possibly can, but I think getting to Holiday Fest would be like a potential long-range goal. I know the next few days are supposed to get a little dicey in terms of cold temperatures. I can imagine it's going to be really good. It's supposed to be cold here, so I'm sure it's going to be very cold up there. But it does look like going into this weekend, you're still looking at weather temperatures in the 40s or so, which that's fine for turf racing, and I think a little bit of clearing next week and some warmer temperatures. So it's amazing this time of year what quality of racing you do get. And we talk about this, and I know a lot of people scoff at Aqueduct and Aqueduct Fall, Aqueduct Winter, whatever it is, but this is often a very good time of year. And one of the things that's obviously, as you mentioned, it has certainly helped that there's no more turf racing at Laurel. But the good thing is that these races don't really have a ton of horses from Laurel. So that might even come as time goes by. So, it's been very, very nice to see and very encouraging. You'll get races like today's fourth, which is a New York bred $25,000 claimer, and it's a very competitive field. One of the interesting horses in it is Let Me Take This Call, who's going to be a little bit of a price. First off, the claim for Mike Maselli, and Mike Maselli's barn has quietly done very, very well this year. And so you want to take a long look there. And of course, this is one of those interesting scenarios where he claimed this horse off of Randy Persaud. And it's not always easy to claim off of Randy Persaud, not because Randy Persaud is a high percentage trainer, but because this is a scenario where Randy Persaud claimed this horse off of a relatively high percentage trainer, got out of her what she expected, and now has moved on. So it's it'll be interesting to see how she does. She does look like one of the controlling speeds from the inside. And this, of course, is a race that will anchor another very challenging early pick five, where it feels like the average payoff this week has been somewhere around $15,000.
Speaking of the pick five, you got to get into that state bred maiden race going 6.5 on the main. And you got a number of firsters. You got a couple of horses that have started. I thought that that Bourbon Bay, a little attractive for Mark Hennig, who can win with a firster on the outside, certainly is, when you see those gate works, the sharp gate works, in fact, that is usually an indication that a horse is going to show speed. And as it happens, that dam, Savvy Sass, a Street Sense mare, wasn't a stake winner, but she was fast. And won't be surprised if this Byron colt doesn't break running. Gary and our friend Eddie, who's got Eddie F. Seafood in Saratoga, get in there. You got lobster roll. I think it's lobster roll Wednesday or lobster roll Thursday. The fried clams are unbelievable. The place is terrific. But he's got Chowda. And Chowda's okay. And made a nice little forward move last time. It's going to be, 10, 12 to 1. This Kelsey Danner, I reached out to Kelsey to try to get her on, and she's just getting going, and as I think is doing a nice job. She's winning, so I'd love to talk to her. She's training for Newtown Anner, Jack of Clubs as well. So those three, Butchie Reed shows up with a horse of his, Noble Endeavor. A great R colt. This looks like a fun group. Steve Penny has got one in here too, self-made with Maya, that Mrs. Nielsen bred, who does a great job. A Tisnow New York bred. Yay.
gotta like that, right. Well, our friend Marshall Graham won the Maid of the Mist with a filly that he bred, who is, I believe, a Bodemeister New York bred. So it pays to have a New York bred, no doubt about it. That Butch Reed firster by Gradar went for $140,000 at Timonium. There are some pretty sizable purchase prices on some of these horses, including Bourbon Bay, who went for $205 as a yearling. And I think if they had kind of known maybe what some of the Byrons were going to do, or if I guess maybe some of what the Byrons weren't going to do as 2-year-olds, maybe that price would have been a little bit lower. But you can bet that this horse probably makes a pretty striking physical appearance. One of the things I think you can bank on with the Butch Reed trainee Noble Endeavor is that this horse is going to have speed, and work 10 and 1 at Timonium, which is a sale where, of course, you basically only run straight for about a furlong and a half. There's a big family connection here, too. The second dam was Missy's Mirage, who won the Shoe V in the first flight. She dropped a very, very nice sprinter named Apprehender, who ran in the Midwest. I believe was trained by one of the Midwest stalwarts, like a Kelly Von Hemmel or something like that. And won the King Cotton, won a number of races at Oaklawn. So, and of course, going back a generation, not that I dig too much into third dams, but this is a relatively young dam. The third dam was Classy Mirage, who's a sibling of Missy's Mirage, and she was the dam of Dublin. So there's a lot of pedigree here, and I would imagine, you know, the tricky thing about this being the fifth is that when you're playing the early pick five, it is kind of buried, but if you're listening and you're planning on playing it, I would not put in a ticket that excludes Noble Endeavor between this pedigree situation, the good workout, and then seemingly the good efforts in the morning. I would also include Self-Made, of course, who Jeremiah Englehart's so dangerous with these two-year-olds. He's been off to a little bit of a sluggish start at this meet, but you can imagine that thing will turn around. And one other thing I was going to say about Chowda is that Chowda comes out of a sneaky live race last time where Dream Bigger came out of that and won a race at Finger Lakes very impressively. Dream Bigger was a horse that was 1-5 in that race and was run down late by Harris Bay, who looks like a pretty decent New York bred in his own right. So, yeah, really, really nice New York bred two-year-old race. And clearly, year in and year out, the quality of these New York breds only getting better and better. I mean, there's a reasonable argument to be made right now that one of the two or three best two-year-olds alive is a New York bred. And so we'll see what Tis the Law has in a couple of weeks at Churchill.
You got an idea in that sixth race, because a horse that Peter Pugh, who's back in business, Peter Pugh is sending out this Fairy Link that I thought at a price was worth a look. Picks up Carmouche, 15-1, the four.
Yeah, Philly facing males in here, but probably should get a little bit of pace to run at. Looks like Tricky Magician will be forwardly placed. Willing to Speed probably didn't get exactly the right ride last time, and it feels like getting back to IRAD is probably going to help his cause. I think that getting involved in that super hot pace certainly worked against him. However, it's pretty tough to take 5-2 in a race like this. Uncle Curly also on the class drop. Gets a little weight break with Declan Carroll being on board. I would imagine he'll have some say in it. But I think in terms of where exactly to land, you probably want to find a little bit of value. So I thought a horse like Ninja Dust actually was pretty dangerous. And I thought similarly, running on that Belmont turf course that had gotten a little harder, a little firm early on, and then got a little wet as the meet went on, I thought Ninja Dust was put in a pretty tough spot last time in a race that was just thoroughly and completely dominated on the front end. So I think returning to some of the tactics maybe that were used two back, I think this horse can be dangerous. I think he's going to be a pretty good price too. So I think you want to entertain pretty much any option in here, as there are a lot of different ways to go. But he was one that I thought was interesting enough at a good price.
You got a 6-furlong turf sprint going as the seventh. It's a starter allowance with 14. And it is just a war. Terra Nova, Lundqvist at 8-1 appealed to me. And then Joel Rosario with his magic from the inside, maybe an inside-outside rally trip with Honey Won't, 10-1.
Yeah, one thing that's been true of these races so far is that they have strongly favored front-end horses, and inside-drawn horses specifically. I think you could kind of call it the gold turf rail. Yesterday's stake, of course, notwithstanding, where Fly So Pretty was able to rally down the outside. But I think that'll definitely work to the benefit of horses that are inside and forwardly placed. And the interesting thing about these 6-furlong races at Aqueduct is that, to me, they go a little bit quicker early on than they do at Belmont. And I mean that, of course, taking into consideration the condition of the turf course. So the horses with route speed can't really keep up, and that makes Wild One Forever to me very, very dangerous. I think Wild One Forever is going to be on a mission right out of the gate, and if he's able to get to the front, now second off the claim for Jeremiah Englehart, I think he'll be very, very dangerous. I agree with you about Lundqvist. I thought he was pace compromised last time. Now cuts back to a distance, I think, that suits him very, very well. I also think I'd be remiss in not mentioning Duress. I know Duress is going to have to run better than he did last time, but speed figure-wise, that was a very, very fast 7-furlong turf race. The thing about that race is that there were multiple 7/8 races on that card, so you did have a good comparison going there and making that figure, and it was very, very quick. So we'll see if he ends up performing at the same level. And as far as the pace goes, it could easily get quick. We're talking about 14 in here, including a horse like Matt Bunnies, who has Luis Rodriguez on, and he's been pretty aggressive out of the gate. So not going to be any big surprise if there is a little bit of a pace skirmish. I think late you're going to be looking for horses like Clyde's Runner and Lundqvist to hope probably pick up some pieces.
We talked about the eight. That's the maiden race. And then you touched on the nominal feature, right? The allowance.
Yeah, in that I thought Out of Trouble would be pretty dangerous. You know, one thing I'll say, and one horse I'll throw out, it has a lot to do with what's gone on lately with this barn. It's not often we talk about a guy like the Bob Dunham having a stable that's pretty hot, but Cirque was a really big surprise winner too back at 64-1. And then I can't even begin to tell you how fast the pace was that this horse got into last time. I mean, that was just absolutely supersonic. And she finished third, beaten five, which really, given the two horses that were in front of her, was a pretty strong performance. And so Cirque is very, very dangerous in terms of maybe getting out there and trying to take this thing a little bit farther than people are going to give her credit for. If she's able to get clear, she might just forget to quit. So throw her on some of your tickets, maybe as nothing more than a backup, but don't be surprised if she's able to stay there for a while.
Yeah, because short pour, you might see the ones on, you know, the picket fence on short pour, but that's going longer and does not have the speed to keep up.
Right, Cirque. I mean, if you're a believer in Timeform US, the early pace figure last time in Cirque's last race was 160. I mean, that's just insanely fast. That's almost like a rabbit was in there. And the thing about the 1-2, the horses that were first and second at that call, is Sadie Lady was 5-1 in that race, finished seventh, beaten about 20 lengths, and Stone Factor was last, beaten about 50 lengths. So those horses wanted no part of withstanding that pace, and Cirque hung in there for quite a while.
Kind of a hungry nightcap, state-bred maidens going six on the grass, and this feels like a place where you may need to reach for a career maiden like Johnny and I were talking about earlier.
Yeah, it's going to be somebody that you kind of have to hold your nose and take. I mean, when you're looking through this race and you're thinking that horses like Fousey and Abby Normal are ones that you could warm up to, it gets a little difficult. I mean, Plink Freud's taken a big class drop, so you're kind of inclined to land there, expecting that she's probably just a little bit better than these horses when push comes to shove. If you go all the way out to the horses on the outside that look like they're dangerous as well, I thought Pendolino deserved one more shot. She was a little bit compromised at the start, two back. That was a race where Plink Freud rallied for second. One of those horses, I guess, is going to be spotted to move here. I don't know. It's awfully tough to warm up to either of them. Sandra's Mine is the other maiden special weight to maiden claiming dropper, and Tom Bush's barn has been pretty hot as of late. So I'm going to use those three, hope to get out of it alive, and see if we can't somehow string together one of these tough sequences, because they've been very, very lucrative.
Unbelievable. Aqueduct, Veterans Day, a sequence that goes 12 by 14 by 10 by 7 by 14. yeah, that's the pick five. So you better eat your Wheaties.
That's the truth.
Nick, enjoy the day. I appreciate it. Great to connect, and maybe Friday, all right?
Sounds great. Good luck. Take care.
Nick Tamaro, NTAM, NTAMM, 1215. Now we have to start calling him Papa Nick. We've gone for about 2 hours, and we do apologize for the early morning issue. An equalizer. Not the old TV series or the rebooted movies with Denzel. An equalizer on the board was out of whack. So good job by Deja and Kay to find the source of that issue. So if you missed part of the Cassie conversation due to audio distortion, it'll be on the website and on the stream later and on the archive, etc. And hopefully, we got to figure out if that'll be all right for tomorrow, Deja. If we got to maybe, I don't know. We got to address that on the for the replay, you know? All right, let's take what'll be our last break, because we've got Mike Trombetta and John Ortiz in this next 35 minutes. And At the Races, Veterans Day, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
A
amazing achievements for Pennsylvania Breds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I'm feeling love.
We're back at the races, coming up on the bottom of the hour. Nice to connect with Nick and get some action in for the Aqueduct. Really, we went through the whole Empire sequence, if you want to play that. But, boy, oh, boy, two 14-horse races, a 12-horse race, a 10, and a 7. And, in fact, that 7, the allowance, the mile and a 16th allowance for state-bred fillies and mares, yeesh. I mean, Cirque is 12-1. We never even got to Dynamite Kitten, who's okay. I thought Classic Lady. What's wrong with Classic Lady as well? So that's a tough, that group of seven is very tricky. Well, Mike Trombetta standing by, and nothing Trombetta does surprises me, but I got to admit, Sunday after Breeders' Cup, we were all watching, and as Independence Hall kept lengthening his lead with every stride, it became more and more astounding. We talked last Tuesday, of course, to Aaron Wellman, but I'm not going to let the opportunity to talk to Mike slide by. And, of course, over the weekend, Saturday at the Calder, runs 1-2 for Mrs. Weber. That was great as well. And we'll talk about American Giants win. That came in the Juvenile Phillies turf. Mike, congratulations. A lot of good things going on.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it was a good weekend.
Well, you were so funny on Sunday. I send you the figure, and you come back with, yeah, he's been nice so far. Nice so far?
Well, you just never know how things are going to turn out sometimes. Yeah, we obviously like this guy a lot, but we, you just don't know what they have in store for you until, until you get to see it put to work. So it was a very encouraging effort on his part, for sure.
Well, let's get the backstory. And Aaron gave us, some of the details of how he and Randy Gallott got involved, etc. But talk about the origin of Independence Hall.
Well, I've had horses for Mr. Verratti and his wife on and off, for years. And we've had some luck, get a horse now and again from him. And he's never had many, but, we've had some fun and did some good. And then he sent me this guy, and he had high hopes for him and high expectations, to be quite honest. And, we had a lot to do with him when we got him. He had been out of training for a bit, so we had to take our time and get him legged up. And I think we've had him since July. And, when he started to, get with his final handful of breezes before he raced, he's, he really showed us that, he was above par. So we were looking for his first race, and we knew we didn't want to go long first time, but we kind of were searching out for something that was more than 5.5 or 3/4. And lo and behold, we found the race at Parks going 7/8, and it just so happened to be on their big day. And that's how I got Joel to ride him up at Parks that day.
I'm looking at his string of works, and it's interesting because a couple of times you sent him out on the all weather at Fairhill, and explain when you use it and why.
Well, that's a good question. So on a typical weekend, we may have 20 horses to breeze at Fairhill. We work a lot of them on Saturdays. And, the first couple sets will go to the dirt, and then we'll send a set maybe to the synthetic, and then they'll harrow the dirt track, and then we'll go back to the dirt for another set, and then we'll go back to the synthetic for a couple sets. So, a lot of the turf horses will breeze them on the synthetic. We just try to keep the best track under them. And then with our younger horses, we'll try both and see what they seem to maybe or maybe not have an affinity for. Most horses breeze good on the synthetic, regardless. Whether they can run on it or not, they usually breeze pretty good on it. So he was one that's just, that we've worked on both surfaces. And he's always worked good on both surfaces.
It's interesting, too, that work September 7th, so a couple of weeks out from the race, you went 3/4 with him. And that was his first, that was the longest, in fact, that's the longest work recorded. I mean, half miles and 5/8 have gallop outs that, that might not, they might have actually gone, further. But he only has the one recorded 6 furlong breeze, and he went in 1:13 on that track, and only 5 horses worked 3/4 that day, but it was a bullet. And, I mean, he hasn't really... He doesn't really work exceptionally fast, right? He's not a 59 flat type.
No, and that's one of the pleasant surprises that comes with it. So he's one of those kind of horses that if you want him to work a half and 50, he's happy to do it. If you want him to work faster, he's happy to do that as well. We don't always get horses that are quite like that. A lot of times, especially some of the better ones, they don't have that easy button. They just want to go like hell. He's very happy to accommodate. Whatever you ask him to do, he'll do.
Well, and you also did something in that debut at Philly that is always a sign of a good horse. He breaks his maiden going 7/8, and that is not an easy assignment for a debut.
Add that to getting the one hole as well.
Good point.
I can't
even
think of
the
worst combination of having the one hole going 7/8 at Parks. It's just like, you know, what else are you going to do to me? So, and he overcame it all and won pretty easily. So that should have been the first sign that we were onto something pretty good.
Well, from there, you look to an allowance, and this is where the story gets so fun with all the mayhem of that water main at Laurel. And what was your, you know, when Sal or when you got the call that the racing's canceled, what was your who got MF'd exactly?
Everybody was going crazy, including myself. We shipped three horses down from Fair Hill that day, and I had like five or six runners total. A few of my Laurel horses are in. It was a beautiful day. The weather was perfect. Everybody's in place. The first two runners were treated with Lasix. And then I get the little ding on my phone, and I look down, and it says, due to unforeseen circumstances, the races have been canceled. I'm like, this can't be. And sure enough, that was the beginning of a long weekend where we lost 4 days of racing.
So now you're sitting with him, and you end up breezing him, what, a couple more times, a half and a 5/8.
Well, yeah, and I mean, we were actually in conversation. We were basically with the owners. We were throwing around the idea of the allowance race, and we were throwing around the idea of the Nashua. Well, the allowance race come first. We went in it. It went. We thought, okay, well, we're good. Well, and as it turns out, they canceled. So, you know, the Nashua, you know, won by default. And, you know, as it turned out, it was the old blessing in disguise, so to speak, saying, but it turned out really well.
Well, the win, and of course, one thing that happened here was that Rosario and Ron Anderson lose the chance to ride him in the Nashua, and Jose Ortiz, who really, I mean, just was sitting chilly on him. What was the expectation in here? And, you know, talk about, you know, what the conversation was like about how to approach the race.
Well, I didn't have, you know, I didn't talk to Jose in any great detail. The only thing I asked him to do was pay attention to him out of the gate, because he did get away a little slow in his first start, and I did not work him back out of the gate. I said, so just try to be aware and try to break him well and give him a chance. And other than that, I told him he's basically good to ride. And when he broke sharp, he put him right in the race, and you know, he just went on about his business from there.
How stunned were you from the top of the stretch home?
Well, it was very exciting. I mean, you know, because at that point it starts to become real that, you know, we may have something that's quite a bit better than most. So, you know, it all, you know, what you've been looking at and what you've been working on for all this time is now starts to show you that this could be real. And, you know, certainly has been pretty exciting.
Well, wins off by 12, posts the best figure that any 2-year-old has posted in the 101 buyer, and, you know, just basically sent people. The tongues were wagging, the jaws were dropping. We talked to Aaron, and you guys really hadn't had a chance. That was on Tuesday. The team hadn't really put its head together yet. You know, talk about how he came out and what you envision for a 2-turn opportunity and what kind of a campaign you want to make for him going forward.
Well, that's still an ongoing process. We're working on that. But Aaron, the one thing that Aaron was pretty adamant about is, you know, giving him lots of space before we run him back. So, you know, he's got some ideas of where we want to run. But, you know, he certainly feels, as do I, that, you know, running him back on any kind of normal or quick kind of rest would be asking for trouble. So we're going to give him plenty of time to get his legs back under him, get him back on a regular reschedule, and then we'll kind of reexamine what the future looks like for him. But obviously we've went them 7/8 now, and we've went a mile. So anything that we're going to do will be a mile plus. But you know, we'll try to figure all that out here real soon.
Do you have an inclination that maybe with the aqueduct win and the way this track? I was down there yesterday. This track is deep and dull, and not every horse is getting over it. So for him to perform on it like that, and with the new program with the main track now installed, any thoughts to just sticking around with him, keeping him in the Northeast?
Well, I think we want to keep him. I think we want to keep him up north, at least for the near future. We'll see what the weather does. I mean, obviously that could change depending upon what kind of weather we're dealt. But, I would think he's going to stay up here for the next, month or two, and then probably take him south, sometime there after that.
All right. Well, he'll tell you, and you've done it. You've done it both ways. I mean, you've done with good 2 to 3 year olds. You've stayed north, and then you've also gone south.
Yeah, it's so much in this business is weather driven, if the weather hangs out for a while, it gives you choices. If it gets real ugly, then your choices become much more limited, and then you have to move these guys around. But that's a big part of what we do, and we'll be prepared when that happens.
Oh, very exciting. Independence Hall, the Constitution Colt, and he was actually an April Fool, so it just feels like everything he's doing is earlier than even expected. A lot to like going forward. A couple two-year-olds Saturday, and you provide Mrs. Weber with an exacta in that juvenile filly turf. American Giant and Our Little Jewel. Not a bad 1-2 result.
No, it was good. There was two of Mrs. Weber's homebred fillies. They both have broken their maidens back up here, and with the Florida bred status there, I figured, it'd be a good time to go down there and try to grab some action with them in the restricted stakes, and they showed up in a real nice way to finish first and second. That was good.
Well, and American Giant stretching out here. You'd tried the debutante at Presque Isle, and she enjoyed the stretch out. And of course, Our Little Jewel broke the maiden stretching out to a mile.
Yeah. Both fillies are kind of coming around and on their own merits at this point. And once they break their maidens like that, then they're so limited options for them. Sometimes you have to look outside the box a little bit, and being they were Florida breds, I thought, this would be a great time to go try it.
Well, and since we're on Mrs. Weber, let's ask about, I think there was another one too on Saturday that hit the board, right, in one of these stakes.
Super Escape, yeah, very well bred filly of Mrs. Weber. She's been winner on all surfaces. She's won on dirt, synthetic, and turf, and she's multiple stakes winner and stakes place. So she's been a lot of fun this year.
All right, and before I let you go, let's take a quick look at what you got today at Laurel. You're in the 5th and the 6th, Junipero Avenue, and Xmas, Christmas in the City, Claimer, and then the Allowance. What do we like today?
Well, it's like most of the other folks up in Maryland. We're all contemplating what our turf horses can do on dirt, and I have two examples of that today. So it's going to be an unknown mystery until we figure it out. But we'll give it a try and see what we can do with them.
Mike, that topic came up just minutes ago with Nick Tamaro, because with the grass season over early at Laurel, the opportunities to come up to Aqueduct, I would think, with the double wide turf course, and there's still I was down there yesterday, still plenty of turf racing to come.
Yeah, as long as the weather holds out, that's our only shot up here now, is to go to New York, and it's obviously challenging, because to go up there and run against those horses, they got to step it up a notch, but we're glad to have a little bit more turf for at least a few more weeks.
Excellent. Mike, very exciting. Independence Hall, and there's quite a bit more. And since we're talking about horses on the making their way onto the trail, onto the classic scene, how about a win-win-win update?
He's, we took him out of training after the Manila and let him get his legs back under him, and we sent him back down to Ocala for some R&R turnout time and relaxation, and I would imagine that they'll gear him back up, sometime soon and get him ready for a campaign next year.
Very nice. We'll watch for him to get back on the work tab. And I should ask you, too, because we didn't get a chance at the end of the Presque Isle meet because things were rolling right up toward Breeders' Cup. You had that McDermott winner, too, the Pennsylvania bred. The Golden Sense colt, news to me.
Yes, that was fun. That he's run, he's another one that he's run on three surfaces and three starts. I mean, it's just crazy how we move these horses around and try different things. You know, he had the misfortune of running against four-wheel drive at Colonial Downs in that stake, and after a half a mile of running with him, he threw in the towel. But he rebounded nicely at Presque Isle.
Well, and it's always nice when you win one for your wife.
It helps. It helps. It helps test our relationship, but it certainly helps.
With, you know, I didn't see the aftermath. Did she go over there? Did she go to Erie?
Yeah, we did. We did go to Erie, and I told her, "Don't ever say I don't take you anywhere," because we go. So we had a fun evening. Actually, we went up and had dinner and got to win a race, and you know it made for a good time. It really did.
Did you go to the casino or did you go to Quaker Steak for the good cheesesteaks?
There's no shortage of good food up there. You know, there's plenty of places to eat. That's for sure.
Mike, well done, and you got clearly one of the most exciting 2-year-olds in the country, Independence Hall, and much, much more. Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Mike Trombetta, everybody, and you should be following, and you can interact with Mike, Trombetta _ Mike. We are just about 10, 12 minutes to close out the morning, and John Ortiz is going to join us. We'll talk about Mr. Dumas, who wins the Commonwealth, and gosh, what a tricky read this whole race was. Very, very tough, and you did have some scratches that kind of changed, I think probably changed the people's approach. Clinton Maroon came out, and so did Osage Moon. So, you know, it's particularly with Osage Moon. I forgot to ask Cassie about Osage and what the intention is, you know, with him. But that took some of the speed out, and also Pirate's Punch came out. So a lot of the speed kind of dissipated out of this. And Mr. Dumas, who has an option, had an option, certainly, to be on or near the pace. And it worked out terrific for him. And, I thought, Deja, I thought you had him. Oh, all right. Let me make sure you've got the right number for John. All right. Yeah. Because there's no telling. There we go. Using that one. Because, of course, John Ortiz, the actor, is also in the system. So you might be calling. If you're dialing the 917, we were just as liable to get Toro Escalante as we were John Ortiz. Yeah, that's what she was doing. Okay, that's pretty funny. All right, we'll get. John might have John as many times as that's happened over the last 3, 4, 5 years. I bet you John has blocked the studio's number. I don't want to dive into anything else because I know that he's waiting because I've been texting back and forth with John. But this is John's third graded stake winner. And I think he does a terrific job. And here he is. John Ortiz joins us. Mr. Dumas wins the Commonwealth. John, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure. I get excited when you win, and just was saying, your third graded stake winner, and Majestic Perfection Colt came out of OBS. He's kind of lightly raced. He made one start at two, and then he missed a chunk of time. What was going on with those 6 months he was off?
You know, we thought very highly of this horse, so we got him out of the cell. Our bloodstock agent, Jared Hughes, did a fantastic job picking this horse out. And, you know, right out of the sales, we just took him to a farm and gave him about 30 days and just let him be a horse and just kind of collect himself. And he was a horse that just, you could tell he had a lot of growing and mental growth, you know, maturity that he needed to get going. So when we did, after that race at Churchill, you know, he put a big effort. We were very happy with him, but just he kind of got a little sore behind, a little muscle sore, and we decided to just take the time off, take the winter off, because he needed to grow up anyway. So we just let his whole body take care of himself, and just that's where the time came from.
I like it, and it makes perfect sense. And he also, when he comes back, even though he breaks his maiden in that second start at Ellis over the summer, you then move him to the turf, and it's taken him to a higher level.
Yeah, you know, we thought very highly of this horse. Just like I said, we thought he was going to be our two-turn dirt horse. I was thinking for sure, maybe, hey, derby time. You know, he does have that more than ready yep. on the bottom side. And, you know, with Harlan Holiday as well, you know, those horses like to turf and route. So, you know, with the money being so good at Kentucky Downs, so let's stretch him out a little bit. We went to 6.5 instead of pulling him all the way out. And, you know, he ran a fantastic race that day. But when he came out of the gate, you know, they usually go right uphill. So he thought he was going to go left like a normal race and kind of got pinched. And we lost a lot of ground, but I was more than impressed to see how much ground his horse made up, you know, having that long Kentucky Downs stretch. I'd never seen a horse kick that well up a hill and to just, you know, get beat two lengths for everything and still had more horse left. That's when we realized, well, Joe Rocco Jr. came back and he says, Johnny, he's like, I don't care where you put this horse anywhere next time, long, short. He's like, that was just the tip of the iceberg, he said. And I was like, well, perfect.
Well, and the next spot, Churchill with the allowance win and wins going away against a good field, including older horses. And so why not? Here's your opportunity to run back against restricted 3-year-old company on a turf course that he just won, and you put it all together. But this was some challenging group of horses. What was your thought when they drew this field, John?
You know, I just thought it was a very impressive field. You know, we had some great breeders, some great bred horses, some great trainers, and it only makes me feel more confident in what I need to do to make sure that I'm competing at the same level with these guys. You know, and the same thing goes for the horse. You know, my horse needs to be on his very best to be able to compete here. So, I wasn't, you know, shocked to see the level of the competition here. I was just very excited to see where my horse fit.
Well, you know, you did see that, before the day was all that old, that, you know, some of the scratches took some of the speed out. Did that change your approach at all with Joe? What did you talk about?
No, you know, Joe and I had talked about this race before, and you know, a couple of days before the race, we just kind of talked over text messages. But, you know, the horse has speed, and yeah. He's really quick out of the gate. So I was like, look, and we know this horse is really pretty good, you know, when he's able to settle. So, you know, and his allowance race, he was able to do it, but he was only just following, you know, chasing one horse. Here in this race, we knew we were going to have a couple more horses in front of us, so we decided to just make sure to get a good break and see how the field would set up going into the first turn and just make sure that we didn't get caught, you know, 4 or 5 wide. Instead,
sure.
just able to snug, you know, just sit right on the outside of a couple horses, and it sure worked that way. He settled really well in hands for Joe, and once again, Joe just comes back and he says, "I still don't know what the bottom on this horse is."
Well, what are the thoughts? What do you? There's quite a few interesting things. I don't know if that Hollywood Derby comes up too fast at the end of the month, but what are you guys talking about?
You know, the Hollywood Derby was a consideration a while back, especially after the Turfway Downs, the Kentucky Downs race. That's when we were like, well, just, you know, jokingly said, hey, that's our goal. But, you know, after every start, we realized, actually, you know what, it's not more of a joke. It might be a big possibility. So right now, look, it's the last grade one for three-year-olds on the turf for the year, pretty much. Now, what are the last few three-year-old races on the turf? So, you know, you got to take advantage of your conditions. You know, he's a straight three-year-old, so why not run where he belongs? So, you know, like I said before, we still don't know what the bottom is on this horse. So, to me, I'm running them back in 3 weeks. You know, he came back out of this race in very, very good form, and, you know, he's bright-eyed, and he's still jig-jogging in the mornings around the stall area. So I don't think that race took anything out of it. You know, just once he saw the horse on the outside getting closer, Joe Rocco said he kind of inched forward for him. Like, he doesn't have to give him a hard hand, you know, hard ride for this horse to accelerate. He's just smart. He's very competitive. So we'll see. I mean, that's definitely a big consideration. I mean, we also have a race down at Fairgrounds, the Woodchopper, and then you have the, what is it, the Tropical Derby at Gulfstream. So there's...
Yep.
And those are in late December, so, you know, maybe we ship them down there and give them a shot. That way we're not running them too close together, but I wouldn't be afraid of it.
I love it. And, you know, this is for those that don't follow, you know, the Midwest and you know, the action through, you know, where John runs. This is actually the second graded stake winner of the year for you guys together with Hooties and WSS because you had Honey Bunny earlier this year.
Yeah, no, that's another one. That was a fun one. That was a fun ride. You know, it's just one of those horse stories that you want to always kind of run into. You know, we were very fortunate to win a 12-way shake for her for $16,000. And, you know, she's starter eligible. And like I said, I'm not afraid to run a horse that quickly when they're doing right. You know, when they're hot, you take advantage of it. And we won, what, six races in a row. And that only got her confidence up so she can win a grade three at Churchill like it was nothing.
She won the winning colors, and you guys as a team, two graded stake wins on the year, and Mr. Dumas just really starting to, it seems, hit his best stride. John, always happy to see you do well. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. And again, thank you for having me here. A big fan, and you know, hopefully we'll be able to do this again in a couple of weeks.
I should tell you that Woodchopper earlier today, Mark Cassie said that the Belmont winner, Sir Winston, is likely to turn up there.
Hey, let's go for it then.
There you go. It's a showdown.
Hey, there's only one way to find out how good your horse is, right? That's just to put him against the best.
I love it. I love it. John, well done.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Talk soon. John Ortiz, everybody, and Mr. Dumas, a big win. John Ortiz does a really good job with a handful of horses. And that, of course, Honey Bunny, like he said, he claimed her and turned her into a graded stake winner. We've turned 3 hours, you know, into noon. Happy Veterans Day. Honor, whether there's one in your family or you're one. Thank you, and God bless you. God bless Don Winfrey, too. It's his birthday. Happy birthday, Don Winfrey. An all-time great. Thanks to Nick Tamaro, too. Johnny D, Mark Cassie, Mike Trombetta. Good luck today if you're playing, everybody. Back with you tomorrow at the races. Replay 6 to 9 here on Sirius XM. Talk to you tomorrow.
me.